I thought this evening we've been looking at the life of Abraham, and I thought this evening we'd do a bit of review, and hopefully one more time, and we'll be able to move from Abraham on to Isaac, and then Jacob, and then on through, and we'll see how far we get, and how long Pastor tolerates this series, you see. Before we do, let's pray, shall we? Father, we come into your presence realizing how inadequate we are to be your children and to do your will. So, Father, we pray that as we look at the life of Abraham, we might see and understand that you were gracious to him when he made mistakes, and this should be a lesson for us also. But help us also to realize that you want us to live out our faith. You want us to be a light to this dark and dying world. So, Father, we pray for the strength and the wisdom to do just that. We pray for anointing and guidance this evening, and we pray that our hearts would be open to receive what it is you have for us. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You have your Bibles, we'll turn to the book of Genesis and start at chapter 11. The last couple of verses here are the call of Abraham to leave Ur, the land of his birth or the city of his birth, and we're familiar with that. Then in chapter 12, the first three verses, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And with that exhortation, off he went. I don't know about you, but that truly is faith. He went not knowing where he was going. I mean, how many of us would do that today? Some of you do it by accident. But how many of us would say, okay, Lord, whatever, wherever, and however? So I admire Abram at this point in time. He did what God said he should do. Of course, he went on to Haran and stayed there for a bit, but nonetheless, he left the land of his birth. Now, we spent time looking at what was happening in that area with the dictators and the strong men and the people or the governments who were committed to eliminating God from their conscience, from their sight, from their mind. So they were doing whatever they could to eliminate God. Now, this is not all that long after the flood, as you and I, we've already been there and done that, so we won't go there again. But I'm continually amazed, but our brother shared again this morning that it only takes a generation for people to forget God. And the next generation, we have no guarantee that the next generation is going to follow God. Unless, of course, we are faithful in fulfilling our responsibility as parents and as leaders to do the best that we can to train the next generation to love Him and serve Him. So, I believe that God called Abraham out of that mess because it was just too much negative stuff around him for him to be the person that God wanted him to be in the end. So, God said, Abram, you get up and go, and I'll lead you to a place where I want you to be. And to me, that is just astounding to realize that Abraham said, okay, I'll pack up my donkeys and be on the way. And it's a great challenge for us today to think in those terms. The scripture says in Hebrews 11:6, that without faith it is impossible to please God. So it is absolutely essential that we believe what God has said and then follow His instructions in order to be the people that God wants us to be and to enjoy the blessings that He has for us. Abram left Haran and traveled on to Shechem, which is now in the Promised Land in Palestine. Anybody remember how old he was? There it is in chapter, 13? Chapter 12, chapter 13, where is it? Yeah, there it is in chapter 12. How old was he? 75. He's 75? Wow. That's exciting. I have lots to look forward to. He was 75 years old. It's just amazing, isn't it? He left Haran, went to Shechem, and then on to Bethel and built an altar. So why did he build an altar? What training did he have in building an altar? Who told him how to build an altar? Any comment? God told him. God wrote it in the clouds, like the airplanes in those white, you know. Sorry. Well, that's possible that he somewhere along the line realized or remembered that he had been told that Noah, one of the first things Noah did when he departed the ark was to build an altar. It's a common practice at this point in time. And it's not all that far away for us also. The Bible says that we as believers should spend time with God, and that's really what this altar was all about. It was a time of spending specific time with God and thanking God for His mercy so far. I was going to start this evening by asking you for thoughts about Abraham that come to your mind that are an encouragement to you. So let's stop this point and do that. I'll see if my pen holds the pages in place since we have this fan on super fast. I vote for air conditioning. How many of you vote for air conditioning? But sister, money is not an issue. My father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine. How many of you still vote for air? Sorry, this is not a business meeting, so it doesn't count. One of these days, I'll step over the line. And okay, so how about it? What memories of Abraham do you have that come to mind? Paul, you'll have to speak loud with all this fan going. His faith. We just mentioned that, and yes, his faith. And that is certainly a lesson for all of us. Anyone else have anything you want to share? Melody. He's a friend of God. How do you get to become a friend of God? Sorry. Spend time with Him. Spend time with Him. I think before that comes obedience, does it not? He's a friend of God. Isn't that amazing? If we were in the dock in the jury, you know, there's a jury. Would we have enough evidence to say that we're a friend of God? Be interesting, wouldn't it, Abby? Isn't that exciting? even you didn't do that. You guys knew where you were going. You just head off down the road. Now, Cam, he might just head off down the road. I mean, yeah. Oh, isn't that something? We won't get to that this evening. We'll save that for next time. But yes. Can you imagine that relationship that Abraham said, come on, Isaac, we're going. Amazing. Someone else. Sir. He didn't say why? What do you mean? What do you mean? You want me to do that now? Oh, yes. We're interesting people, aren't we? We're interesting, you know, because we like to know. Now, my understanding is that women like the security of knowing more than men do, I think. But men are more whatever, willing to take it as it comes. But he just said, okay. Anything else? Anyone else want to make a comment? Lauren says, okay, yes. Oh, well done, milady. Well done. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, you know, there is a time to pray, and it isn't always when we're in our closet. It's the time is now. Sometimes the time is now. And I was thinking about that, in fact, before we started here this evening, and I was thinking about, by the way, some of you have been praying for Loma Kirk. Loma is one of our deputy principals. I talked to her on Friday. She said she's doing really well now that it's all over. She went through chemo, and then she went through radiation. And I said, did you put up any lights in your house, or did you shine enough that you didn't need lights? She has a good sense of humor, you see. But anyway, she's doing really well. We thank you for your prayers for Loma. We do want to pray for Fiona. Fiona Ralph, they went on holidays, and she broke her arm. Serious stuff, broke her arm. And anyway, there's a time to beseech God for a matter of importance, and the time is now. The time is then, not wait till later. And you and all of us have done that. We've waited till a later time, and the opportunity has passed. So there is a time to beseech God. Someone else want to make a comment? Elijah. He was the spiritual leader of his home. Yes, he was. He did laugh. Yes, he was. And that's a great concept for us to understand, that God chose him, God worked with him, even though he had his faults. He did the wrong thing on a number of occasions. But God did not cast him aside. And as long as we keep coming back and saying, Father, forgive me, God will not cast us aside. He will continue to work with us because he has promised to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Anyone else have a comment? I just thought it's a good thing to rehearse. Pastor said this morning that he needs to review regularly. And that's true with all of us. You did say that, did you not? Yeah. James. He was unselfish. Yep. Yep. I mean, he was a senior one. He had the right to choose because of his position. And we need to be careful when we say, this is my right. Because when we serve a living God, when we serve the God we serve, do we have any rights? That's another question for another time. But anyway, you are absolutely correct. He had every right to say, Lot, I'm going to have this bit. You can have that bit. But he didn't. He was unselfish and allowed Lot to make his choice. Well, he built an altar in Bethel. And then he had a relapse. You know what a relapse is? You know what a relapse is? When you're getting better, when you're sick and getting better and you have a relapse, what does that mean? That means that you're bad again. So things were pretty tough in Canaan, and what happened? He heard, it's better in Egypt. And so off he goes down to Egypt. And then, not only did he go to Egypt, which rather than, did God say to Abraham, look, Abraham, I'm going to give you all this land and Egypt also. No, he didn't. He said, I'm going to give this land and provide for you. In essence, I'm going to provide for you here. But instead of staying there and depending on God, he decided he's going to Egypt. Because it sounds better. It sounds like they have lots of food and they have lots of provisions and it'd be easier. Seemed like a good idea at the time. How many of you have said it seemed like a good idea at the time? And it may have seemed like a good idea at the time, but it wasn't. And then, of course, he had the challenge of his beautiful wife. And we'll get to this a little later on. Sarah, of course, must have been a very beautiful woman. And he's afraid that the king is going to take him out of the picture so he can have his wife. So he lied about the matter. But God still loved him, and God still dealt with him, and God still responded when Abraham called on him. So we have Abraham to Egypt, and then he returns to Bethel, called of the Lord. This is chapter 13. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And that's exactly what we need to do when we do what we think was a good idea at the time. We need to call on the name of the Lord and say, Father, forgive me for what has happened, for what I have done. So then, in chapter 13, we have Abraham and Lot separating, as James spoke here. So what lesson can we learn from this? And I think James has already answered that by saying that Abraham was unselfish. He said, Lot, you choose. You decide where you want to go. And we... We have some interesting information about what happens with Lot. Lot chose the best, and the best was toward the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. So be careful when you choose the best, because the location might not be the proper location or the best location. Does that make sense? We want the best, but sometimes it's better... What does Solomon say? It's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop. You know, the bottom line is that when we have to depend on God for every meal, for the next meal and the next dollar and the next rent payment or the next house payment or whatever it is, it keeps us, in a sense, it keeps us closer to Him. And you can see it happen in churches. You can see it happen in Christian groups. When they become wealthy, when they become prosperous, well, I don't need God anymore. And I've had people both in the U.S. and here in Australia tell me, what do I need God for? I have everything I need. have everything I want. Why do I need God? So be careful about choosing the best place. How many of you know Psalm 1 by heart? Anybody know Psalm 1 by heart? Anyone quote Psalm 1:1? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What happened to Lot? First he walked with them, then he stood with them, and then he sat with them. It's a perfect illustration of a backslider, someone going away from God. You walk with the world, you stand with the world, you sit with the world. That's where he was. Lot was sitting in the gate as a counselor or whoever. But Psalm 1 is a perfect illustration of what happens, or Lot is a perfect illustration of what happens according to Psalm 1. So we need to take that as a lesson. These things were written for our benefit. So we need to take that as a lesson. Be careful with who you walk with, because it won't be long before you're standing with them, before you're sitting with them. And it's a pathway away from God. So that's the lesson for us from Psalm 1. In chapter 13, verses 14 through 18, God restates his covenant. The Lord said to Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it. And thy seed, for how long? Forever. Do the Jewish people have all this land now? Will they have it in the future? Absolutely. God is going to fulfill his promise as he has stated over and over again. Well, we have in chapter 14, the battle of the kings and Lot. And no one mentioned this, but it took a bit of courage on Abram's part to chase down these kings. He was vastly outnumbered. Does that matter to God? No, you and God make a majority. Is that right? You and God, I and God, me and God make a majority. So whatever comes down the road, we know that we've got on our side with us on God's side, I should say. Then we make a majority and God is going to provide and bless. So Abraham chased down the kings, brought back Lot and all the gear and all the people. And then he met up with Melchizedek. And Pastor has this great exposition about Melchizedek, so we'll let Pastor come and share this. Pastor's saying, hang on a minute, I don't have my notes here. Oh, it's Troy. Melchizedek comes out of nowhere. How do we? Where's the history of Melchizedek? We don't have any. After the flood, the people were populating in the area of the Fertile Crescent, the area of Iran, Iraq today, or along the Tigris and Euphrates River. So there's no information about how people traveled from there to Canaan, to the land of Palestine. But Melchizedek did, and he was king of Salem. Salem is the name for what city today? Jerusalem. So Melchizedek was king of Salem. He met Abraham on the way and blessed him, and Abraham paid tithes. This is long before the law was given and before. So why would he do that? That's a good question, isn't it, Pastor? You said if anybody knows, I think in Sunday school class, you said if anybody knows this answer, It's more than you know, but respect. I reckon that's right, James. Anyway, he met Melchizedek on the way, on the return. Chapter 15, verse 1 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. Now, Abram made some enemies, chasing down those kings and in other areas. So, here we have God saying, Abraham, fear not. And God says this to all of his people, fear not. Right? What do you have to fear? Anyone want to make a comment? What do you have to fear? If we belong to him, what do we have to fear? Is he able to provide? Is he able to keep us safe? Is he able to lead us in the path that we ought to go? So, what is there to fear? So there's a great lesson here for us. God said to Abraham, fear not. And he's saying that to us tonight. Fear not. I am your provision. I am your guide. You follow me, all will be well. Now we have Abram saying, hey, Lord, you said that my seed would inherit this land, or my children, my children's children. And I'm reminding you that I don't have any children. So just in case you forgot, Father. Do any of you say that? Just in case, Father, you forgot this promise you made. Well, then God renews his promise. Verse 4 of chapter 15, behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look unto the heavens and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord. And here's a great verse. And he counted it to him for righteousness. So that is a terrific statement, and one that we ought to get our heads around. Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Then he has the covenant renewed here in chapter 15. Said unto him, I'm the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And so this is what we talked about last time, the covenant. And the covenant, or the contract, was between God and Abraham. But who signed it? Normally in a contract, you have two parties, two or three or four parties, however many parties, and everybody signs it. But this contract was between God and Abram, and who signed it? God signed it. Did Abram sign it? No. God put him in a deep sleep, so he couldn't interfere. So he couldn't make any comment about it. So this contract was God saying, I will do this, Abram. You don't have to do anything. You don't have a part in this. I'm going to fulfill this promise as I made. I'm going to do it. The responsibility for the fulfillment of this contract is on me. I'm going to make it happen. And that's absolutely essential that we understand that, because that is the same way it is with us and salvation. Do we have a part in our salvation? Did we do anything for our salvation? No, the contract is with God. He signs the contract. He's made it available through the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. So there's It's his saying, it's done, finished. So then Sarah and Abram decided that they were going to do it their way. And Sarah said, by the way, I have this lovely Egyptian maid, and she can provide a son, and he can be the heir. Did God say this was the way they should do it? This, no. But this is one of those that seemed like a good idea at the time thing. How many of us have done the same thing? Seemed like a good idea at the time. It's not happening, so we're going to make it happen one way or the other. And I'm telling you, the result is going to be disaster, no matter which way you cut that pie. And we'll look at that in a little later, in another time. Do it my way. This is Hagar and Ishmael. Anyway, I think we'll leave it there this evening. We'll have one more session with Abraham. And we'll talk about laughter. We'll talk about how that when Sarah called Isaac called him in every evening. Hey, the laughter, come. Because that's what Isaac, the name Isaac means. You know how old Sarah was when she gave birth? 5 that she's past the time of giving birth, of having a child. And there's a great lesson in this for us, because with God, some things are possible. Oh, how many things? Then why do we act like it's some things? Do we act like it's some things? Often we do, but it's all things are possible. Whatever he wants us to do, ask us to do, it's possible. Because with God, all things are possible. Father, we thank you this evening for your mercies to us. We thank you for this portion of Scripture regarding Abraham. Father, we pray that it would be an encouragement to us to know that this great man, this man with whom you started a whole nation, a nation that was supposed to be a light to the world, a nation that you were working with to show the whole world how it could be to have a people who loved you and served you. Father, this man made mistakes. And you loved him still. And you dealt with him. So, Father, help us to understand that you love us regardless of what we do. There are consequences, of course, for our wrongdoing. But, Father, help us to understand that you love us, that you will provide for us, and that with you all things are possible. We give you thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen.